This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good Thursday morning to you. It is a throwback Thursday today. Throwback in a number of ways. Because once again, the NBA has this sort of story that comes out that pops up, oh, every now and then, where a disgruntled star makes a case to get the hell out of whatever town he's in. And in the end, that team capitulates. The Houston Rockets have parted ways with James Harden. A four-team deal involves Brooklyn. That's where Harden's going. It involved Cleveland. It involved Indiana. A lot of moving pieces. But in the end, what do the Rockets get? They get a lot of building block pieces for in terms of draft picks. And Harden gets to reunite with Kevin Durant. Both of them are on the Oklahoma City Thunder teams before Harden was shipped to Houston. And a title contender building in Brooklyn if Kyrie Irving ever shows up for work. But as I called it, sort of a throwback Thursday element to it, we've seen this a number of times in the NBA. We saw Anthony Davis do it. Carmelo Anthony has done it. We've seen guys just get really frustrated, show their frustration, start doing the little things that you would do to sort of be a pain to the team you're currently on. And in the end, teams want to get value for you. They just aren't going to fire you. So they start making some phone calls. And that's what the Rockets did. But I kind of think that this was set up in both ways. I think the Rockets wanted to part ways with Harden as well as Harden wanted to part ways with them. I don't think this was a knee-jerk reaction after Tuesday's comments that the Rockets aren't competitive. I think the Rockets knew they needed to ship this guy. He showed up out of shape. He just wasn't happy. He just didn't feel like he was showing up for, you know, late for camp. When you can read those sort of writing, you read the writing of the wall, if you're a good general manager, you start making phone calls to see what you can do. You start asking Philadelphia if they want to get involved in Boston if they want to get involved in anybody else they want to get in. Brooklyn ends up being the team that's willing to sacrifice so many draft picks because they want a championship. It's why they brought in Kevin Durant. It's why they got Kyrie Irving, and that's why they bring in James Harden. But we'll discuss it coming up. Full look at this trade, the four teams that were involved. In the end, though, this is about James Harden wearing another uniform. We got that on the table as well. It's a throwback Thursday, some NFL playoffs, good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. It's all coming up on a busy throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call.
It's a throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, today every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. Protect your family with the Exogen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. I love this song, but I'm thinking about those California raisins, like dancing, those claymation California raisins. Marvin Gaye. This is 1969. You know why we're doing this date on Throwback Thursday? We hardly ever do this. I don't think we really have ever done it.
Yeah, I don't think we have
Throwback
either.
Thursday. We're celebrating the birthday of Jason Bateman, one of my favorite actors. You know why I love Jason Bateman so much? I think it's because we're about the same age. He's a few years older than I am.
Yep.
And I've watched him since he was a kid. In everything.
You know what the other best thing about Jason Bateman is? That disappearing act he did for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, exactly.
10, 15 years? I mean, just not even on the radar.
Yeah, he came back. And
with
then
a vengeance.
He had Arrested Development, and then he's now in Ozark. He was on in Zootopia. But I remember him on Silver Spoons.
Of course.
In the early 80s, right? He played Ricky Schroeder's friend. It was a wisecracking friend. And then he was on another show called It's Your Move, which lasted about 10 seconds in the 80s, that I thought was funny. Then he was on Valerie. It was another hit show.
Yeah.
He was on that show forever and a day.
I never really understood how, you know, that was the first time where I think I watched a show and I'm like, okay, these three are supposed to be brothers? They don't look like each other.
They don't look like each other at all. Yeah, I remember Sandy Duncan came on that show.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was Valerie Harper was like, I'm done. And like, she couldn't. They were like, fine, you're out of here. Couldn't agree to a contract.
We'll bring the aunt in.
Very similar to what's going on with James Harden and the Houston Rockets.
Yep.
All right, so I asked you right off the bat today, is it a sad day in Houston? And it kind of got mixed reviews on whether or not it is or not. I mean, he basically did every trick in the book to get the hell out of Houston.
You said it best last night when we were talking to each other. You just said that was fast.
Yeah, that was quick. Yeah,
and it was. That leads me to believe they had a plan in place.
I totally believe that. I believe. Look, when he decided to go eat a Fudgy the Whale Cake before training camp, right? Showed up late. Been complaining about this team since the second the season started. I mean, if you're the management staff of Houston, with Rafael Stone as the new GM, you just go, all right, let's make some phone calls. Let's see what we got, because we're not keeping this guy around. If every night we're going to listen to him just complain bitterly about how this team isn't competitive, we're going to ship him to somebody else. And listen, it's the playbook. That's how it works in the NBA. It makes us cringe because we kind of believe, like, you have a contract, you honor the contract. But this is how these guys get out of these deals. This is how these guys force trades. They just become a problem. They become so much of a problem that you go, all right, let's pick up the phone and start dialing and see who's listening out there. Who will take this guy off our hands, and what can we build? And if you're Brooklyn, look, this is a four-team deal, but the reality of it is it's all about James Harden going to Brooklyn and all about the picks going to Houston. You know, Caris LeVert's involved, Victor Oladipo's involved, but Indiana and Cleveland, this is all just to help out the trade. The reality of it is this is the James Harden for picks story. And the Rockets got loaded, I mean, absolutely loaded with picks to build their future. And if Brooklyn doesn't win a title with this trio, and I say trio knowing that Kyrie Irving hasn't showed up for work in about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, he's been taking his paid time off.
Yeah, he's been the personal days,
yeah,
and which nobody can figure out what the hell they are. But
although he was on a Zoom call with I think Cynthia Nixon,
yeah.
And others. I'm not sure what that was about, but he was there.
He was there.
As Kai Irving.
Steve Nash was like, oh my goodness. But if they don't win a title, a haul like this can set you back. Now, is it worth it? Yeah, if they win a championship, sure. Even if they win just one, sure. But if you don't, you can set your franchise back for a while. I mean, these are the kind of pieces that you need, and they're just willing to just hand them all over for James Harden in a win now, let's win today. Because again, the picks early are not that big of a deal. They're a good enough team even without James Harden where those picks aren't going to be tremendous value to Houston. But the ones a few years down the line, that's a big deal, especially if they don't sign these guys for long term.
I guess what stings the most too is, in the end, James Harden got what he wanted too.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought for sure, like, if Houston was going to make a trade, they would just ship him off to no man's land, you know.
Yeah.
To name your obscure team.
That's the thing that bothered everybody about the Anthony Davis situation, right? He wanted to go to LA. He pulled the same kind of shenanigans, and then in the end they trade him to LA, right? I mean, It is amazing because we as fans sort of don't like that. It's one thing if we have an athlete that we love that the team says, you know what, we're not going to be good here. We need to shred some payroll. He's a great guy, but we're going to get him onto a championship contender. Hopefully we can get some savings and some picks or some young players, but we're going to ship him off somewhere else. That's one thing. But when a player actively tries to force a hand to a team he wants to go to, makes it a problem for the team you love, and then gets what he wants in the end, we don't really respond to that very well. I mean, I was talking before the show about, I remember working in Denver with Carmelo Anthony, and it was the same thing. I mean, it was the same sort of, when are the Knicks the landing spot for Carmelo Anthony? When are they just going to make the deal that the Nuggets say, fine, that's the deal we want? It was, I mean, there was, you know, New Jersey at the time was involved in it, and there were some other contenders, but everybody focused on what the Knicks would offer, right? What would the Knicks offer for Carmelo? And we waited every day for the news that he was leaving town. He wanted to leave town. The Knicks wanted him. He wanted to play for the Knicks. And we were just waiting for Josh Kroenke to go, fine, good, gone, fine, we'll take whatever. And they got all these pieces, right? That's the way it works. You just complain enough and you just become a problem and a thorn in the side of management and your coach and even the players. Hey, when DeMarcus Cousins calls you out, that's a problem, right? I mean, that's how bad James Harden decided to fall on purpose to get what he wanted to go to Brooklyn. That's what you got to do. You got to sort of sully your reputation a bit you get what you want, and then you kick it up, and then next thing you know, yeah, all right, fine, cool. I'm pairing up with two guys, again, when Kyrie finally shows up to work, and we're going to be a force in the East and possibly an NBA championship team. And we'll see where that goes. As for Houston, you get rid of a headache, you get rid of a guy that is not being productive enough to make it competitive because you're not competitive anyway, and now you've got plenty of draft equity to make it so that this is a great trade building to the future. If you're a serious Rockets fan, it stinks to lose a guy like Harden, but what really were you losing? An out-of-shape guy that didn't want to be there in the first place on a bad team? And instead, you've got so much capital now in terms of where your future is going. You got to pause, step back, and now you've got a chance to move forward in the future. It's a great deal for Houston. It's a great deal for James Harden. And for Brooklyn, it's a wait and see. I mean, look, this is great because you land Harden, but what if it doesn't produce a championship? Like, what if it doesn't? What if it produces discontent, problems, and Kevin Durant says, yeah, thanks for everything, I'm leaving, I'm going somewhere else?
This is very true. What if it just produces a headache?
Right. What if it's a problem for Steve Nash and he's like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah, Steve Nash is going to rethink things quickly. He's like, all right, I got three dribblers.
Yeah, I know, right? And you know what's funny? It's Nash's first job, like first thing he did when he got there was work on his defense, was work on the defense, right, for Brooklyn. Now he's got to figure out an offense for these three guys. That's going to make everybody happy. And defense ain't James Harden's thing. So that, you know, this in the trash, right? All right, we're going to figure out something else. But it's one of those cool sports stories where you got, again, you've created this sort of super team again in the NBA, which most of us don't really enjoy because it's just the way these players want to be. But at the flip side, there's so much risk at it, but the reward for the team that gave up the star player is getting a ton of good draft equity. It's pretty good. But let's go back to Harden for a second. And the reason I asked you if it was kind of a sad day, the guy put 8 years in Houston and was so close a couple of years ago from winning a title. So close when Chris Paul got hurt, had a chance to really upend Golden State. I still believe if they had gone to the finals, they would have won. They would have won the finals, and they were so close. But, you know, you get this is the ebb and flow of these guys' career, right? You just can't, you get them for a brief period of time where they the sun shines on them and everything works, but something else is brighter. And in the Western Conference, Golden State was just brighter. And that's what happens. You know, we talk about this in the NFL all the time. The Steelers, right? An underachieving team this last decade, without question. Everybody points this out. But the time that Ben Roethlisberger was really coming together and really coming together as a pro, what was going on in the AFC? Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. It's really hard to get yours when those guys are there. And in Houston's case, it was hard to get theirs when Golden State was so dominant. All those years, going to every single finals before injuries got a hold of them. And then you put LeBron James in the Western Conference. I mean, the writing was on the wall that team was not going to be able to be competitive in a Western Conference that was getting tougher and tougher by the second. Plus, let's not forget all the young teams that were starting to emerge and build themselves up and start to come to fruition, like Dallas and, you know, teams like that. Oklahoma City at the time, not now, but back then. Right. I mean, all of a sudden you put yourself in like, wow, look, it's going to be a really hard road to get to the finals with where we're at. And then you get discontent from your star player. And now he wants a trade and he gets it. So, all right. On Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue that conversation. We also got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour because we got a couple of guests coming up next hour in hour two. We got Lee Ellis, one of our favorite Aussies, to talk some NBA, and then Pat Donovan in Tampa. We'll talk about the Buccaneers Saints matchup coming up this weekend. All coming up. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony B and Ron Culver.
All right, a weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test that battery free of charge. If that battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, good, the bad, and the dumb, coming up this hour. We continue to look at the big James Harden deal from yesterday. It blew up because the NBA was making some noise. Four-team megatrade. Cleveland was involved in it. Indiana was involved in it. Victor Oladipo goes to Houston. Taurean Prince headed from the Nets to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Jared Allen is involved. Why am I mentioning this? I have no idea. Who cares? James Harden is the real story of the trade. He goes to Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, that's who he reunites with when Kyrie Irving shows up. Back to Kyrie real quick. He's been out since January 5th. If you did not know, he has not played. He's been out for personal reasons, but nobody really knows what the personal reasons are. I'm wondering if he'll run back now that James Harden's on the team. Who knows?
Yeah, it's curious, right?
Right.
Now that you have this, you can go, oh, we got a threesome.
Yeah.
Got a big
yeah.
three going on here. Now we can make some noise.
So the Rockets get Brooklyn's three unprotected first-round picks, 2022, 24, and 26. They also pick swap in 21, 23, 25, and 27. My God, what a deal. When you really look at it, it is like what a nice little haul for the Rockets. Also, they get Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum from the Cavaliers in the deal. And the Nets, they just get James Harden and a 2024 second-round pick from the Cavs. By the way, these trades get so complicated that you have to call up other teams to sort of see if they want in on the fun. It's like, yeah, we're trying to put this deal together, but we also need some pieces to make it all work and make it all fit. You want to jump in and throw out some guys that you don't want anymore, and maybe we can get you a guy or two that you do want. Indiana, you want to be in on this? It's like how does it work? These GMs all talking to each other going, yeah, here's what we're going to do. Because everything has to make sense in order for the league to approve it. You know, it's not like baseball where you can just dump high-priced players to teams that can afford it. Everything kind of has to match. So there's got to be – everybody's got to get some value. So, but if you're thinking – and this is what we were saying earlier. If you're thinking that this trade was instigated because of what Tuesday night's press conference when Harden said Houston isn't good enough to compete for a championship, I'm just not buying that. I think the Rockets had every intention to make this deal, I think, is just a little too complicated to have been done within a 24-hour window. I think the Rockets knew exactly what they wanted to do with James Harden. Again, showed up late for training camp, is overweight, on a team that is not competitive. He said it. They know it. And I think they looked around and said, look, if we're not going to go down this road, let's find a way to get pieces for a guy that doesn't want to be here. You know, it's one of those, I'm a player's guy. I've always said this because I think that in the end, you know, especially in the NFL, I'm a player's guy, but I'm also a player's guy in baseball. If you can get $300 million, get $300 million. I mean, I can't stop anybody from making money in this country. If somebody's willing to pay you an enormous amount, exorbitant amount of money to play a sport, go take it. But even if you're a player's person, even if you side with the players on a lot of the labor deals, right? Because here's the thing. No one ever says, well, the owners make too much money, right? Nobody ever says that. Like, go to your friend that doesn't like sports. What is the one thing they always complain about? The one that doesn't follow sports, doesn't care about sports, what do they always say? Ugh, those guys make too much money. But no one ever says the owners make too much money, right? No one ever says that. What they do is they say, oh, that guy plays a game and he's getting $30 million a year to do so. Well, yeah, because what his services provide, you know, pre-COVID anyway, in a billion-dollar industry, warrants that kind of salary. We talk about this with quarterbacks all the time, right? How many quarterbacks can legitimately start in the NFL? Maybe 20. If you're one of those people and you're in a billion-dollar industry, you're going to get paid a lot of money to do that. If there was only 20 actors in Hollywood that could produce blockbuster films, meaning every time they were on the screen, again, pre-COVID, that film was guaranteed to make $250, $300 million, maybe even $1 billion worldwide. If there was only 20 people, yeah, they'd get $30 million a picture, right? If that was the case, they'd get $30 million a picture. And it's the same thing in sports. If you have a talent that is so good that you are creating success for a person that owns that team, and that success is financial, you're going to get rewarded. It's just, that's how it goes. But that being said, we don't really like the method in which some of these guys facilitate trades or anything to better their lives. We just don't. We don't like the idea that in order for you as an NBA player, and Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, James Harden, name your player that has done this, where you create yourself to be such a problem that you force the team to go, fine, we're getting rid of you. We know we won't sign you later down the road, and you're not producing for us, so we'll ship you and we'll get something in return. And as Ron said in the last segment, it's even more frustrating when that person does all of these things and you're a fan and you root for the team and he's not putting in the effort. He's, again, Harden showing up late and showing up fat and all that. And he gets what he wants. He wasn't shipped to Orlando. He wasn't shipped to New Orleans. He was shipped to the team he wanted to go to this whole time. He wanted to go to the super team. And that's what's frustrating. Again, it's one thing, and you talk about the list is huge of sports figures that have been with a franchise for a long period of time, maybe had some moments where they could have seen the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of a championship, but just came up short, and then the team has fallen on hard times, and you see that mega star, and you want so badly for them to get a ring because they meant so much to your city, they've done so much for you. And then you want them traded. You kind of want the team to go cut ties with this guy. He deserves a championship. He deserves to play in a Super Bowl. He deserves a World Series ring. But we don't like when guys facilitate this by doing negative stuff, right? Being a pain, making negative comments, not being a good teammate, not showing up to practice, not showing up to camp, not being in shape. All of those things just to get out of town. I say this a lot, and I know a lot of you know it, but some of you don't really live it, which is these guys aren't fans of the team they play for like you're a fan of the team you play for. They may love the city, of course. A lot of guys get drafted, and they go to that city, and they fall in love with the city, and they end up living there forever and ever and ever. Jim Kelly, right? Didn't want to go to Buffalo. Didn't want to go to Buffalo. Went to Buffalo, lived there forever, right? Some people they just love where they're at, but they also know they can't play for the hometown team anymore. They can't play for that team anymore. What they want out of their career, it's not going to be given to them. Now, I remember when I was in Colorado, Todd Helton was a beloved Rocky. And there was a period of time where the Rockies were bringing up young players, developing young players. And that was the business strategy. Look, and baseball teams do this all the time, especially ones that aren't very good, is they market the other teams that are coming in, right? And that's what the Rockies were doing from like 2001 to about 2006, right? They had big contracts with Mike Hampton and Danny Nagel, and they had to get rid of those off the books. And, they started reducing payroll, and Todd Helton was staying around and young players were coming up, and there were jokes like Todd and the Toddlers and Kid Rocks and all those kind of things. And it bothered Todd a lot because he was trying to be competitive and the team wasn't competitive, and the team admitted they weren't competitive. They would advertise on TV like, come see the Cubs, come see the Giants, right? I mean, that was what they were marketing. And so people in Denver wanted Todd Helton to get traded to like Boston or New York or someplace like that because they were like, he's great, and he's been so good to us, and we want to see him win a title. But I'll tell you right now, if Todd Helton had been a jerk and he'd not been a good teammate and he'd shown up to spring training late and kind of made demands and said bad things about the team to the media, then they wouldn't have wanted that for him. Just like there's a feeling of betrayal by Harden and how he went about this, even though he gave the city of Houston so much. Again, it's not all... it's not the same standard for everybody. Everybody goes through these. When you're an athlete and you want to trade, everybody goes through their emotions kind of differently. But we've seen this in the NBA where if you just become a pain, if you just become a problem, teams will acquiesce and send you where you want to go. because they want something for you. They'd rather the headache leave, but the headache leaving also produce not only good health, but a good future. That's what the Rockets got. All right, coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday on the day we celebrate the birthday of Jason Bateman. I think one of America's greatest actors.
Yeah.
Of all time.
I don't think that's...
That's not far off,
no,
right?
No, I don't think it is.
Guy that's been around for like 40 years, man. He's great. Just turning 52 today, so you do the math. All right, what is the good of the day, Mr. Culver?
We have the first TikTok trend for 2021.
Oh, and this is?
Usually, you know, we kind of make fun of them.
Yeah.
This one I kind of like. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But the TikTok trend started with one guy just doing the Wellerman sea shanty.
Okay.
You know
sea
shanties,
right? I'm a little lost on that. Yeah, I know. But...
And what's happening is that, like, people just keep adding their stuff onto his original. And so it's just growing and growing and growing. So I grabbed a sound bite so you can hear what it is.
Okay.
Right? First, it'll start off with just the guy singing the verse. And then when the chorus comes in, you can hear how there's, like, three or four other people who joined in.
Ship got put to sea, the name of the ship was a Belly of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, dip down or below, my belly boys blow.
Soon may the weatherman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing
is right,
done, we'll take our leave and go.
That was good.
See, now, what I can see is that it's fun now, but this could end up in the dump, you know, like next week.
Yeah, sure. But still, good. That sounded great.
But this, I mean, safe.
Yeah.
It's COVID friendly because right, you just record in your own house or studio or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
that's
there's
pretty good.
There's another viral video of a guy, two guys driving, and one of the guys keeps looking at his friend who's singing the song, like, dude, this is the dumbest thing in the world. And it just cuts to. It keeps cutting to him getting more into it, and then at the end, they're both singing it.
That's good.
It's kind of
That's
funny.
Good. That brings us all together.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Very good.
I don't know. I just, you know, I was rocking around the house with it. Everyone was looking at me crazy, but I'm like, yeah, I like it.
That's good. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
Oh, you mean the bad?
I mean the bad.
See, you already put that in the bad. Look how
no,
the
I actually
sea
thought
shanty
that
rubbed
was
off on you. So quick. Like, oh, that's bad. The bad of the day was the Office obsession that Americans had this past year.
The Office obsession? The TV
the
show?
The TV show with...
It was on Netflix, and now it's on Peacock?
Yes. Americans watched over 58 billion minutes of the show in 2020.
That's amazing.
Now, for context, I decided to... I didn't do the math. I just punched it into the Googleator, and it gave it for me. There's only 525,600 minutes in a year. If you've ever watched Rent, you would know that.
Okay, so if you were to watch all...
That's just how many minutes are in a year.
So how many? So do the math of how much we all watched The Office during
the
quarantine.
Yeah, it was 58 billion minutes. If it was just you watching 58 billion minutes of whatever... It would take you 110,000 years.
Wow. That's great.
Just
good
to give
the
you
office.
A scope of like how much people were watching The Office.
Now, this is, I don't know much about this, so I'm just going to, I think I heard or read this somewhere, and that's one of the reasons the Peacock is appealing, because they took The Office and now they have it, and if people want it, they have to subscribe to NBC's new streaming channel.
Yep.
I was talking to my wife about this the other day, which was.
It's a good show.
Have cable, and we keep talking about cutting the cord, and then we have all of these streaming services, and I'm like, I think we are paying more for entertainment on our TV than at any point in my life.
Yes.
I was like, I have all of these streaming services, plus I I'm not getting rid of cable. This is the most I've ever paid for television in my life. I was like, and then I thought about like my grandmother, like in Brooklyn. I don't think she's ever paid for television in her entire life. She always had over-the-air TV.
Or
she
maybe
had,
just
she always had the antenna.
Maybe just like the standard like $30 to be connected.
If I'm not mistaken, I think my father and my uncle David put in one of the digital antennas that you have to, remember you had to go digital when it went from analog. And I think they did that for it. And I think that was it. That, and I thought all of the money that I've paid for television since, I don't know, since I got out of college, my whole life.
Yeah.
And it just keeps increasing. And I keep wanting these streaming services.
Oh, it's getting crazier. Now I keep getting hit. I just noticed this last bill that I got. I'm getting hit with these additional charges because we keep going over our data. I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah.
But there's only a certain amount of data that, you know, our cable company provides, and we keep going over it because I got a wife that's working from home. I got two kids who are going to school from home. Plus, you know, then their downtime is pretty much, you know, streaming online video games.
Remember there used to be those stories that came out early in the internet where it was like, this couple found out their son downloaded a movie before their flight and they were hit with a $17,000 bill.
Yep.
Remember those stories?
No, they still exist.
Do they still exist? Or we kind of figured out how not to do that anymore?
I saw a story not too long ago where a kid got a hold of his parents' credit card and just kept buying game after game or buying in-game things. And it was like racked up like over $10,000.
Oh, okay.
And there was nothing. She had to pay it.
Yeah, she had to pay it.
You know,
but I mean, like that is like legitimately, I stole mom's credit card and I racked up and I know what I was buying. And if I was smart, I know what I was doing. These stories were innocent. Like, yeah, I guess you could download the movie on the phone, right? I guess that'd be fine. And then next thing you know, they were getting bills for thousands and thousands of dollars because they didn't understand the inner workings of how this was. Like, you were overtime and it was in this location and it was roaming. And by the way, you know, you owe us pretty much your house.
Yeah,
that was, that was.
I feel that way anyway with the cable bill. Every time it comes each month, it's like, take out a loan.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just to pay cable, kids.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
I got two.
Two, okay.
And the first one, I don't really know if it's dumb. I'm kind of excited to see where it goes. I just didn't know where to put it. But GM has developed a flying Cadillac.
A flying Cadillac.
Yeah, it's kind of like... It's kind of like if a drone that you would see, you know, kids play with, or, you know, people play with, you know, how they make Super Bowl things or whatever. You know, you've seen the high drones. It's kind of like they married a drone with a taxi in a way.
Got it. Okay.
And
this thing actually will fly?
This thing will actually fly. It was debuted at, you know, CES 2021 is happening right now. And it's all virtual. Usually a big, big hit in Vegas. Vegas is... God, I don't know how Vegas is going to survive the pandemic.
Right.
But it's a flying Cadillac. It's a self-driving vehicle which takes off and lands vertically and carries the passenger above the streets and through the air. So it's really just for city use. And it's just going to go from like one building to another building.
How much force does it use to lift off the ground? And does it cause... problems?
It is fully autonomous and all electric with a 90 kilowatt motor.
Wow. I'm not an engineer.
I don't
pretend
either.
To be one, but that's amazing.
And it goes, speeds are up to 55 miles per hour.
No, I would never, ever be, no. I would never be, well, you know what? I take that back. If I'm in a flying car, I don't think it matters what speed I'm in it, anyway. So even at 20 miles an hour, I'd probably be a little nervous.
I mean, I don't know if this is dumb, if it's bad, if it's good. I just don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know. It's like the self-driving cars.
Right.
I have literally gone from I'm absolutely getting one to I will never be in one my whole life.
Yeah, I don't need
like,
that.
Like, I have gone through the extremes of the self-driving car.
Oh, man.
Where 20-year-old me was like, that's amazing.
1985, when Back to the Future came out and we saw Doc go, roads? We don't need roads.
Right.
We're all like, I'm on board.
Yeah, and I did the math and I'm like, I'm young enough to enjoy that technology.
Yep.
I'll be around in 2015, hopefully, and I'll be young enough to be able to get a flying car like that. Sure, but, you know.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, it looks cool.
Yeah,
it does. I don't know how many are in production yet, but it's literally just a one man capsule that will lift off from one building and go to another building. So
sounds good.
If you don't want to be bothered by streets, you go on this, but you got to have a flat roof. This thing's, you know, you're not landing like at the Empire State Building.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, all right. What's the second dumb?
Nickelodeon's Gabrielle Neva Green.
Okay. Remember, I do not know who that is.
She was the young lady who was part of the NFL broadcast.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the broadcast, so I don't know who she is, but I remember the broadcast.
But you know of her. I think we did talk about her, and it was, I guess, you know, it was good. But anyways, prior to the broadcast, she received Tony Romo's 800-page packet of game notes.
He has it. Wow.
That was where the dumb, that's exactly how I looked. It's like, why does he need 800 pages of game notes?
Oh, my God. 800 pages of game. Listen, I'm starting to feel bad because all my life, my entire career that I did play by play, I was really meticulous with notes. I think the most I ever brought to a game was 10.
That's why you're not making $1 million a game.
Apparently not. I mean, I'm way short.
Now you know. Now you know that if you're going into this, you need to get 800. I can't even fathom 800 page. An 800-page packet.
I would love to see this. I'm not kidding. As a broadcaster, I would love to see the notes because I've done many, many football games where I brought a little package of, you know, of every player, what they do. You try to prepare as best you can, but I've never brought 800 pages to a game. Not even close. Again, like I said, probably the most was 10 pages in a football game.
Right.
That was about as much as I could manage because I mean, more than that, you're really scrambling to try to find the stuff. You want to be like, and that tackle made by Joe Simmons and hold on. That's his third sack this season. Like you want to be able to have stuff quick.
And who has to put this together each week?
Who puts that together for him? That's a book.
I mean, I don't know if it's every single week. I don't, but she was handed an 800 page packet of notes, and she quickly was like, "What do I need this for?"
I would love to see what's in those notes. I would love to see what those.
I mean, is it like a 2-page biography on every single player?
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah. God. Well, as an analyst, you're probably doing it differently than a play-by-play guy, but still, it's still a lot.
There are certain guys that you have probably have notes on that you'll never talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to really talk about the whole.
Where's your producer? Isn't he supposed to be in your ear telling you this stuff anyway at that level?
Isn't he on the Google?
Yeah.
Just Googling it real quick. Okay, exactly. Yeah, have this many yards in 2015.
Like, you think when Joe Buck goes, and the last time this happened was in 1975, do you think he knows that off the top? Of course he does. Somebody's telling him in his ear, hey, Joe, by the way, last time this happened was in 1975. Great. And then don't you think Romo's people handle like he look at that level when you're the number one analyst, you probably have your own staff, right? Your own people that help you every single week. You know, you probably put together your team. Their job is to help you navigate every single game. So there, I'm sure that 800 pages. That's crazy.
It was Saints Bears.
Right. Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly.
What don't you know about the Saints?
What's it for the Super Bowl? When he gets to the Super Bowl, what is it? 7 volumes? Was it an encyclopedia?
The Encyclopedia Britannica.
It's like a bill in the house.
No, you know what it is? It's that scene from Santa Claus. Yeah, we got a shipment for you. Hey, just leave it in the doorway.
Yeah, exactly. Pay book after book after book. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday as we continue with Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
The Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Happy birthday, Jason Bateman. The actor turns 52 today on a Throwback Thursday. We love Jason Bateman's work, so that's he gets the one birthday Throwback Thursday that we do on this show. By the way, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Also on this date, the Pittsburgh Steelers went to Super Bowl 30, beating Indianapolis in one of the most nervous games I've ever experienced as a fan. For those of you who probably don't remember that game, the Steelers the year before lost to a San Diego team that had no business being in that game.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
Natron Means and Stan Humphries and Junior Seau. Anyway, they beat the Steelers, and the Steelers were heavily favored. And it was one of those games where you swear your team just totally blew off their opponent, just didn't take them seriously. You know it, like, doesn't happen. They say it doesn't happen, but it was one of those games you're like, it's happening. The next year, they were playing an Indianapolis team that was kind of the same. It was Jim Harbaugh at quarterback, and it was kind of the same kind of team. You know, Steelers were much better on paper, but here came the Colts, just hanging around. And so, disappointed a year ago from not going to the Super Bowl, I'm watching this game in 1996, and Harbaugh has the ball, last play of the game. He throws it into the end zone, and a touchdown would have won it, walk-off touchdown for the Colts. And Aaron Bailey of the Colts had the ball in his hand. He fell down, and it landed on his chest, which probably is the easiest way to corral a ball if it lands on your chest rather than trying to snag it in the air with a bunch of other hands. It lands on his chest, but he's a split second too late in getting to it, and it rolls off. And the Steelers go to the Super Bowl. It makes me sweat. It's one of those plays when I rewatch it, I go, he's going to catch it this time. Like, this time he catches it.
Yeah.
And the Colts go to the Super Bowl.
And so one of those times he will.
Yeah.
He's got to keep watching. One of those times he will. He will catch it.
And the Steelers ended up losing in the Super Bowl to Dallas. They would have lost in the Super Bowl the year before to San Francisco, like everybody else would have. So it didn't really matter. But yeah, anyway, that's the Throwback Thursday.
But we haven't gotten that matchup. We haven't gotten Niners and Steelers in the Super Bowl.
No, we have not.
No.
We have not.
We need that.
Maybe one day. One quick other Houston note besides James Harden being traded to Brooklyn. Bill O'Brien has signed on with Alabama. He's going to be their new offensive coordinator, replacing Steve Sarkisian, who went to Texas. This is what Nick Saban does. He resurrects careers.
That's a brilliant mind.
Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, and now Bill O'Brien. You land with Alabama for a bit. Next thing you know, your agent's phone's ringing off the hook.
That other choice was not so high, though.
Not a good one. Take the Jets job.
Yeah. Well, no. Bill, it was for the OC job. It was either Bill O'Brien or Adam Gase.
Oh, Adam Gase. Yeah, no. Yeah, for Nick Saban, what you're saying is it was a no-brainer to take Billy O'Brien.